Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
And this is the Isles Buzz podcast. My name is Noel Fogelman, alongside Dan Petru. Dan, a couple weeks ago, Lou Lamoriello fell into the Islanders' lap. They got that done. Monday, it looks like Barry Trotz fell into the Islanders' lap. Let's see if they can get this done.
Okay, I'm going to rain on everyone to parade right off the top. I don't think he's coming here.
Okay, why?
He just won the Stanley Cup. He's got to be exhausted. It was a real difficult season in D.C. He said it numerous times. It was his most challenging season. I know he felt really insulted, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but really – the fact that the Capitals let him coach as a lame duck, did not negotiate a new contract, and then we don't know what happened with the whole raise and the automatic contract that kicked in after winning the Cup. It just seems like he might be exhausted from coaching. Now, this is just my opinion. I don't know anything. But it just seems like he might be exhausted, and I can totally see him taking a year off and revisiting it next summer.
Okay, I mean, there's only one opening right now. It is the Islanders.
Right, and that might not be a fit. He might not want to come up here.
Right. Also, now that he is available, you might have some teams, let's just say the Oilers. I throw a wild card out there, too. Buffalo. Buffalo is such a weird team.
He's not going to Buffalo. You can offer him $25 million a year, and he's not going to Buffalo.
I'm just saying their owner is nuts.
If he's going to go to a team, he wants to go to a team where he can compete right away. And look, the Islanders are going to be better next year, but we can't write them down as a playoff team yet.
You would think they're going the right direction with Lou Lamoriello. I think this is just about money.
And if it's just about money, the Islanders might get him.
Yeah, if it's just about money, then I do believe he was making $1.5 million. Given he's never coached in the Stanley Cup Finals before, but he was always in the playoffs. So he was a winning coach. And to make 1.5, and then even with his contract winning the Cup, it went to $1.8 million. I mean, it's a little ridiculous for someone who just won the Cup to get that much, you know, a little of a bump, so to speak.
Look, I'm a huge fan of Barry Trotz, and if they can get him here, that would be amazing. The way I'm reading the tea leaves here, it just doesn't look like something that's going to happen. But boy, I want it to. I would love to be wrong. I want to be wrong here. I just get the sense that he just might want to break.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, as of this weekend, Sheldon Keefe, who just took the Marlies to the Calder Cup, he wasn't didn't get any calls about getting permission from Kyle Dubas yet. So we don't know if there's another option for a coach. Given it's Lou Lamoriello, he probably just does what he wants anyway and probably spoke to Sheldon Keefe already.
Well, you're hearing DJ Smith's name get tossed around a lot.
Yeah, but it's interesting. No one's been mentioned yet. And if they really wanted DJ Smith, that could have been done already.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I think we're going to have some more clarity by the draft, though.
You would have to imagine by Wednesday the latest this has to get done.
I don't know. With Lou, we're not going to know anything until it happens.
Right. True. Yeah. Absolutely. That's pretty much similar to Garcinoe's way. But that's step one. Step two in this crazy week is getting a goaltender at the draft. And speaking of that, we'll have Russ Cohen from Sportsology and the Hockey Prospect Show on XM Radio, Sirius XM Radio, on in a few minutes. He's the guy you want to talk to about the draft.
Right. He breaks it down. If the Islanders do pick, what you're looking at 11 and at 12, and what kind of player you can expect to pick. And when you talk to Russ, the nice thing is when you're done, you get excited about those picks suddenly. Like, okay, yeah, there is good value here,
Yeah, but you know what? I have no problem with them trading all the top four picks.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard you say in a long time.
If it gets me Erik Karlsson and it gets me a front-line starting goaltender, I have no problem trading those top four picks.
Need to have a friend invention right now. If you're trading Erik Karlsson, let's say you are trading for Erik Karlsson, how are you affording him in Tavares?
Let me finish. If they can get Carlson or Noah Hanifin, if they can get another top-flight defenseman, I'm for it.
I am too.
That being said, I'm not making the choices, so it doesn't matter to me. So, I mean, we're in good hands with Lou Lamoriello.
I just think Carlson's a pipe dream, and why don't you just wait a year and try and sign him and not have to give up all those assets?
Sure. I mean, but the thing is, like, you have these picks right here.
You do, but you need some in your organization. The Islanders have no forwards in their organization outside of Kiefer Bellows.
Okay, so but you know what? They have two 20, 21-year-olds in their lineup right now, so that's fine right there.
Right, but you need to have entry-level contracts coming into your roster every season.
I'm aware of that, but you know what?
If you can find a way to get rid of some of the dead weight on this, you can find a way to get rid of a Clutterbuck or a Cizikas or a Boychuk or, you know, any of those albatross contracts. You find a way to get rid of a couple of those, then, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
But aren't you sick of just having to wait for prospects?
No, it's not about waiting for prospects. You need them to compete. You need them to win. How do the Capitals get over the top? You can't pay everyone $7 million. You can't.
I understand that, but you have two prospects in your lineup already. You're going to likely have – you have Ryan
for
Brooks
another year. For
you
another
have Ryan
year.
Okay. That's with every team of prospects. Eventually, you're going to have to pay them after their entry level.
Yes.
They have guys in – defensively right now I'm talking about. They have enough young defensemen in their lineup. They have Bellows coming up. They're going to have to re-sign, we know, Lee or Eboli, maybe not both, but they're bringing in, like, say, Carlson. But why not make a run at Carlson? Why not?
Four picks is not going to get you Eric Carlson. It's just not.
I didn't think
you can give them two ones and two twos. It's not. They're going to want some players off your roster. They're going to want a Pavilion.
I know.
They might want a Nick Leddy.
They're not going to want Nick Leddy.
His contract's not bad. He's young.
I think they're going to blow this up.
Well, maybe. But also, if you're getting Carlson, you have to know you can sign him. And how are you affording him and John Tavares in the same team?
You can afford both of them. You're just not going to be able to get Lee and Eberle next year. That's the thing.
And then so how does that help? You're just going to think that Bellows will be ready to score 25 goals in the NHL?
Not – well, Russ talked about whether he thinks Kiefer Bellows is going to be ready soon. The thing is, you talked about prospects. If you know Kiefer Bellows, you need him to plug in. Not this year. What about next year? If you're not going to have Eberle or Lee back,
sure. But you're just going to pencil him in for 25 goals when you have proven commodities already there. I think that's really risky.
You know what? It is risky. But Lou Lamoriello is 75 years old. Do you think he wants to build a team of prospects? Do you think he's here for the long haul? I don't.
He did a pretty good job with the farm system in Toronto. They just won the Calder Cup too.
Exactly. How long was he in Toronto for?
Toronto? He's in Toronto for 3 years. Yeah.
Right, exactly. He's not going to be here longer than 3 or 4 years.
I get that. No, look, I'm not saying trade some of these picks. You've got four picks. I think they should use one of them. I think they should use one of the first-round picks. You want to trade both twos and a one, I'm fine with that. But I think you got to use one of the first-round picks.
Would you trade a number one for Noah Hanifin?
Yes.
So would I. He's young enough where he's almost just like a draft pick anyway.
Also, that's how much money he wants, too. That's the thing. He's an RFA.
No, I understand that. And you know what? But the thing is, you're going to have to pay everybody. You're going to have to end up paying Pulak coming up.
Right, but you can't pay everybody $5 million a year.
I'm aware of that. But you know what? Sometimes you have to take a gamble.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I would trade a one for Hanifin. I have no problem with that.
Like I said, it's a dream scenario getting Carlson. Do I think it's going to happen?
Okay, let's get out of the clouds and let's talk realistically.
Oh, fine, realistically? Then who's your other option? John Carlson? John Carlson's not coming here. You're going to have to overpay him.
Right.
You're going to get John Carlson $7 to $8 million a year? No, of course not. So
he's a $7 million, $8 defenseman, though.
Is he?
Yeah, absolutely. He had 60-something points last year. Absolutely he is.
Yeah, I can't pay him. I don't know. He's going to get it, so, I mean, whatever. But yeah,
I get what you're saying. I do. I totally do. But it's like you have to be realistic, too. You can't pay everyone You can't. There's a cap. You know what I mean? You can't. Everybody can't make $5 to $9 million. You got to have a couple million-dollar players in your roster, a couple $800,000 players in your roster.
Well, that's what
contributing.
The former GM really effed up this team.
Yeah, I know. Now, unfortunately, Lou's got to fix all this mess, and that's gonna be really hard. He might not be able to fix it all this week.
No. And speaking of this week and next week, it is the buyout window. I only have a couple candidates. I don't really see anything happening. Let's just take one guy who basically has a buyout proof contract, Andrew Ladd.
Yeah, you can't buy him out. You save no money in the cap, and same thing with Boychuk.
You save under $7,500 a year. So it's because his contract is all basically signing bonus money. And he really screwed up that. I could see them releasing him, or I should say waiving him, and clearing, obviously, and playing in Bridgeport.
So I could see that, too, if they needed the roster space, yes.
Yeah. But another guy, obviously, would be Kyle Clutterbuck.
You could buy him.
A little more affordable. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not.
I think you could get someone to take his salary on, too, if you kept some of his salary.
Yeah, a little bit.
Same thing with Cizikas. They won't buy out Cizikas, but you might be able to move Cizikas.
Yeah. It also depends on what you can do with Brock Nelson this week.
Sure.
And he's someone who is obviously a restricted free agent for another year, but they can't bring him back. They can't pay him $4 million.
No, they can't.
So I would imagine Lou would look to trade him. A potential replacement for a third line center is someone Lou might know well, is Tyler Bozak.
Yeah, it just depends how much of a pay cut he's going to want to take. Does he? You know, because on some teams he could be a second line center. You know,
that's the thing. He'd be a perfect third line center.
Plus, we need to know what Tavares is doing too.
Well, there we go. That's the next thing. There was some good news last week about him talking daily with the Islanders. If that's the case, that has to get wrapped up, I would imagine, by the weekend.
You would think so. There's got to be a plan for each scenario. Although with Lou, there's probably a plan for 70 scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Friday night, about 10:30. What's your best prediction?
I think the Islanders have traded one or two of their picks. I think one of the first round picks, one of the second round picks. I think they'll be drafting two players. I think we'll have a goalie. I think we'll have a head coach.
Who's the head coach?
I have no idea.
Damn it, Dan, give me answers.
Who do you think the head coach will be?
I do think it's going to be Trotz.
You really are on Fantasy Island. Carlson, Trotz, Tavares resigns. Everything's good now.
Why not? You know what? The last couple of weeks with the Islanders have been great. You have finally a competent GM. He kicked out Gard Snow. He kicked out Doug Waite. Why can't we stay on this high? For once, why can't the Islanders fans stay on this high?
I think
there hasn't been anything to prevent it to burst this bubble yet, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of coaching candidates, and like no one's been mentioned really. You know what? All right, because I think he'll be in the staff somehow. I don't know if he'll be the head coach. I'm going to go with Scott Stevens.
Okay. All right. I think Stevens will be on the staff.
I don't think he'll be an assistant coach. I think he'll be an associate coach.
Oh, yeah. He would totally help this team 100%.
Absolutely. They need him behind that bench one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And they, let Greg Cronin go this week, which was long overdue.
Right.
They haven't mentioned anything else about the other coaching staff. But,
you have to think. You have to think the head coach will name his own staff, and I think Bridgeport's going to get cleaned out too.
Yeah, I think so too.
We love Coach Thompson, but it's time.
Yeah, agreed. I think Friday we'll have a head coach. I think we'll have a little more clarity about Tavares. Nothing signed yet, and I think Rubero will be acquired, and I think it'll cost probably a number two and maybe another draft pick.
Yeah, I just have a feeling, and I like Grubauer, and if we can end it with this, and we'll get to Russ. I think Lou's going to try and make a bigger splash. I don't know who that fully is. I think he's going to – you know what? Yeah, here's if you want, we're, since we're doing predictions and we're talking fantasy players.
Okay, go for it.
I think Pekka Rinne is going to be the goalie of the Islanders.
Okay.
There you go. And I think he'll use his picks for him. He's in the last year of his deal. They love UC Saros. So, essentially, that's going to be he's going to be the number one there. They're going to move Rinne at some point. I don't think they would re-sign him. I think this could be – I think Rinne could be the guy.
So, basically, it's just having Rinne for 1 year.
Maybe.
And hoping that Sorokin or it comes over or it's not.
Yeah, maybe. But, you renegotiate a deal and see what he wants to do. I don't know. But you're asking me for a guy? I think that's the guy. I think Lou's going to try and make a big splash. I really do. And that will be a big splash.
Okay. I think he's going to go hard after. I really do. So I think it's going to happen. No. I think he's going to go hard after to Carlson. I really do. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to go to Vegas. We talked about
before. I think he's going to Vegas, too.
Yeah. And then he'll try to, go for after somebody else. The free agent market for defensemen is terrible. So he'll get off to somehow work a trade.
We'll see. All we know is this week's going to be pretty exciting.
All right. And joining us now is Russ Cohen from Sportsology. He's the one you want to talk to about every NHL draft. Russ, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime, though.
I ask you this question every year we've had you on, so I'll ask you again. Do you think the Islanders will be making not one but two of their draft picks this year, first round?
I think they're going to be making one. I think Lou will have to trade one for a goalie, and I think that's what his main objective will be. I don't think they have much choice. I think at the draft is when you have a chance to get like a goalie who's got like a year left or two, and a team puts him out there because A, they either have another goalie or they want to lose a salary or they want a draft pick. And so the Islanders have those things where they can help, and I think ultimately that's going to come into play, and I think they'll end up with one of those two picks.
Now, if they do make, let's assume they make at least one of those picks, what kind of talent can Islander fans expect in the 11-12 range?
Well, it depends. Like, I think, as an example, with Calgary, they have John Gillies. They haven't really utilized him yet. He was a college star. He had a hip surgery a few years ago. He's fully recovered from that. He's your prototypical big goalie that actually really thinks the game well and really has a great glove hand and really holds the crease very well. And so, like, if you try and bash the crease, it doesn't really do anything to him because he's just that big. I think if they decide that they're going to keep Smith longer term than what his contract is, you might be able to get him because they have another goalie in their system as well. If not, then I'm not 100% certain. I mean, Grubauer is obviously on the board. It would definitely take a first and probably another draft pick of some sort to get him away from the Capitals. Do I know if Grubauer for sure is the number one? No, because I've wrestled with this for years and haven't been sure.
The Islanders keep the pick, and they are selecting right there. If you go off your board, who do you think would be a good first-round selection for the Islanders based on what they currently need?
Okay. Well, if people do go to Sportsology.com, they could see my rankings. If we're playing the mock game, I will tell you right now that Montreal is probably going to blow it all up on the third pick. Like, they're going to go way off the board. They're going to kill every mock draft out there. But by the time the Islanders go at, let's say, 11, I think they would have a hope that maybe somebody falls a little bit. It could be, I'm trying to think, to 11, we could be talking Evan Bouchard for some reason. If he slips a few spots, he's a great defenseman. He is already big. He's already a man. I like his skating. Some people think he needs to work on it. I think, he could become a better skater, but I don't think it's an issue. He's great on the power play. He's really a terrific defenseman with a great shot, and actually I like a lot of his overall game with his hockey IQ. He could be a guy. There's Ty Smith, who played for Spokane. Now, Bouchard's about 6'2", Smith's 5'11". I don't worry about Smith's size. He even joked about the size of his arms not being that great at the combine. I don't care about that. The guy has elite offensive numbers. He's got a great shot. He said of the this is what he told me at the combine, of the early guys, you know, the early top defensemen, that he's the better defender of all of them. And, you know, if that were to bear out, which again could, he's already got the offense in his game. So that's another guy who I think they would look at. Kokinami's probably gone. Hayton's probably gone. So I think one of those two defensemen is a really good chance. And if for some reason Joel Farabee slips a little from the NTDP and the Rangers let him get by, I would get him, because this kid just opens up offense for everybody. He's not the biggest guy right now. He's 6 foot, like 165, but he does have a kind of frame where he could put on some, a little bit, maybe 10 pounds, maybe a little bit more, but he's a great, like I said, great skater, great on the penalty kill, slick shot, and just opens things up for him and his teammates offensively with the open spaces on the ice. And so if they could get him, that's good too. I mean, there's guys after, there's always going to be names out there, you know, if you want to go, it's not the greatest center draft, but if they decided that they needed a center, you know, the next guy I would look at if Hayton and Kokkinemi were gone would be Joe Valeno. And people remember him because he had exceptional status. All those years ago, he's literally played junior hockey forever, but he's good. He's big. At 6'1", 194 is already a good size. He is a guy that admitted he didn't shoot enough last year. He definitely has a scoring touch, but is a pretty good playmaker. I'd say above average playmaker, but sometimes has that sort of Claude Giroux effect from a couple of years ago where he's trying to always be unselfish. I think he's getting past that now, which is good. So if they got him, or they got him with the second pick, I think that's still a really good selection. So I think those are guys you look at, and maybe if they went with, you know, a centerman for that first pick, then maybe, you know, you'd be looking at someone like Bodie Wild for the next pick if some of those other guys are gone for some reason that I mentioned beforehand. Bodie Wild plays for the NTDP. He is very physical. He's already 6'2 and 198. He can be a little bit of a riverboat gambler just once in a while, but he also knows when to reel it in. He's not one of those guys that's crazy with that, but I've seen him win games with his shot. I've seen him plaster guys in the corner. I've seen him make great defensive plays and really shut down to the opposition. So he's another guy that I would be looking at for them. Now, some might say, hey, it's a little early, but, you know, the Islanders, the way you have to look at things, when you have two picks in a row, I mean, you know you're not going to be picking again for a while. If you like a guy and you don't believe you could trade down or get him later, then you just have to take him regardless of where he might be on anybody's board.
Yeah, the Islanders, thanks to the Travis Hammond trade, also have two number twos. They have actually four picks in the top 43. So there's someone who kind of falls down after their, you know, first two selections. They could always use those picks to trade up. But I just want to talk about...
Well, I will say this, just because you mentioned it, because they have all those picks in the top 43, I think, to me, they're one of the more dangerous teams, because I think after you get past 45 in this draft, there's certain fall-offs as you keep going down in this draft. And I think once you're past 45, then you're digging really deep. And that's, let's face it, that's not the Islanders' specialty. Hasn't been for years. But the fact that they're in that top 45 is good, because I think that's the range where they could do a lot of damage by getting good players.
Right. And I just want to ask you about one of their previous first-round picks, Keeper Bellows. You know, he went to Portland, had a very, you know, strong year, you know, had tremendous juniors. Do you imagine him spending pretty much the whole season in Bridgeport next year?
I think he should. I think it is possible that he could do some real damage down there. And by half season, there's that chatter where maybe he comes up early. He's a guy that when they made the pick, I liked it. And I liked it because I thought, hey, you know what? This guy's probably like a third line, very physical center who skates well enough but could get better at skating, but also, you know, has some offensive ability, but I don't know how much. And then really in this last year, his offense blossomed. And I know people probably think it's because he's a big kid. It's not because he's a big kid. It's because his shot got a lot better. And he's a guy that just kept working at it. And so now, as we saw in the World Juniors, he could really, you know, he's a guy that could, you know, skate through the crease and get off a great shot and score, where – before, I thought he was just going to be getting all kinds of just, you know, dirty goals, goals in the crease, hard area goals, and now he can get some of the others. So I think he is a guy that, you know, could win the AHL Rookie of the Year, or he's a guy who maybe could come up a little early. But that's not Lou's way. Like, Lou usually falls on the side of caution. So my guess is he'll play the full year with Bridgeport, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, speaking of Islander prospects, it's expected that former draft pick Linus Soderstrom will be in Bridgeport this year.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the Islanders are in desperate need of a Sunday night. Coming off the injury-filled season last year, but now, you know, it seems like he's healthy. He's had some good years in the past. What can, is there anything the Islanders need? It's a goaltender. Obviously, he's going to need time, but what can we expect from him with his first season in North America this year?
Well, adjusting to the game, the angles are different. It definitely affects goalies more than anybody when they switch. So he definitely will need the full year there, probably two. But I think what you're looking for is a fair amount of games. Like, you want him to get 40, 45, right in that sort of range for games. I've seen him in games where he's a real workhorse and he could handle a lot of shots. So if their defense isn't pristine, that's okay. I think he's very good post to post. I think he really thinks the game well. I think he's a pretty intelligent goalie. So they have a good one. I know everybody looks to Sorokin, but right now, you know, he's not coming over. So I think you look at this kid and you say, you know what? This is a guy that you could do something here. And I think that let's see him, you know, perform a full year in the A, and then you worry about it. Probably whoever the Islanders are getting via trade for a goalie will have at least 2 years on a deal anyhow to probably insulate him a little bit, which is good. I think that's the best way to go.
All right, and you can check out Russ's top 31 rankings on Sportsology.com. Russ, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Noel. Thanks, Dan.